Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello and welcome to the first podcast of the Strang Report in 2018. I'm Steve Strang. I am so honored today to have Bishop Bill Hammond from up in the Panhandle in Florida, where I live, and he was on the cover of Charisma magazine this month, and we're recording this in January of 2018. And Bishop Hammond, I want to welcome you and tell you what an honor it is to have you on the line and on my podcast today.
Well, I count it an honor to be able to be with you, and I sure appreciate and bless you for putting my picture there in the article about the prophetic, because I've had a passion for the restoration of prophets and the value of prophets to the body of Christ for over 40 years here now that we've been really working toward that. So I think it was it is great for the kingdom, and it was real good for me too, so I really appreciate it.
Well, you have certainly blazed a trail in the prophetic, and you are widely respected. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I just thought it was a great issue. We did some other things on the prophetic in that issue, and in fact, looking ahead at 2018, and the headline on this very fine-looking cover is A Prophetic Legacy in the Making, How God Turned a Door-to-Door Salesman into a Prophetic Salesman for His Glory. Now, before we dive into that, just tell me a little bit more about the reaction you've gotten since the magazine has been out now a couple of weeks.
Well, I've gotten it from, I have 4,000 ministers around the world, and churches and thousands in the United States, and I've got calls from all over. In fact, a young man that I taught in Bible college, that I referred to him in there, that he was a part of that divine visitation I had in California in 1973, and he had several calls and said, you know that Bishop Bill Hammond, you're part of that prophetic? And so he got to explain to some old Pentecostals what the prophetic's all about, and yes, how it was, how I prophesied that to his wife that she'd marry a traveling preacher, and when she was 17 years old, and they got married, and they traveled the world, and still in the ministry today. And so it's really been, and it's really, I think, and I feel for me, it's been a great blessing, but I really feel for the kingdom and for God's purpose for his prophets, because, you know, the prophetic voice is from the Garden of Eden to the last chapter of Revelation. And the prophets are going to play a very, very important role in these latter days, as the voice of the Lord is really needed to be heard. In fact, we're in the second phase of the prophetic movement. As I travel around the world, and I traveled almost 200,000 miles last year, and there's a greater hunger and openness to the prophetic now than there was even back in 1980s. And it's exciting to see that people want to know what's God's got to say, what's heaven had to say, and the prophets are the main voice for telling, thus saith the Lord, you know.
Well, the cover story, the cover itself, and the picture inside was great photography. We sent one of our editors, Taylor Berglund, up to your ministry, and we got a photographer, and you never know how, but it just really captured, almost your spirit and your personality in that picture. Plus, there's some very interesting pictures from the past early in your ministry, so people need to
I went clear back to when I first started pastoring in 1954. Got a picture there that I was from my little office I had in 56, where I was talking to somebody on the phone. I had a nice picture of my wife and I, and she went on to be with the Lord in 2014, but for 59 years, she was a real great co-laborer and helper in the ministry.
Amen. And she was widely known as that, and she's very much missed. Taylor Berglund started the article by saying that, by your own count, you have laid hands on 50,000 people. You've actually lost count, and you've done that in order to personally prophesy over them. Could you kind of explain a little bit about that for people who maybe aren't familiar?
Okay. Back in 1948, there was a move of God that restored singing, praise, laying on the hands, and prophecy, and many other things of teaching of apostles and prophets still in the church. And they developed what they call prophetic presbytery, where several ministers would come together, lay hands on people, sometimes when they're ordaining them, or just while they develop the prophetic quest to discover more your calling and destiny in the body of Christ, what God's doing in your life, and give you some insight to that. But when, and I was part of that for about 20 years, but in 1973, God released that divine anointing up on me to prophesy endlessly, and I had that breakthrough, as it talks about in the magazine, that where I laid hands on it and prophesied to about 20 people, and I thought, well, that was the Holy Ghost maximum, because the most I'd ever seen in prophetic prayer was maybe 15, 20 people prophesied over one sitting, because usually two or three ministers, prophets, would prophesy over them. They'd go 8 or 10 minutes per person, and three or four of them prophesied over the same person. But then I prophesied over these, called them out, prophesied over them, and then I thought I had the Holy Ghost maximum. And so I just said, everybody line up around the church, and the Buddhist ministers here make a blessing line, and I lay hands on you. And I was in the front row, front line, laid hands on him, and boy, the flashes of revelation began to come to my mind, what they were going through, what God's going to do with them, and their calling and stuff like that. And I was just like a volcano trying to erupt inside of me. And I said, well, Lord, we've already got our maximum. So I put that one through. Next one is just much more so. Or the third one, it felt like my volcano is going to erupt. Flashes of revelation came. And I said, Lord, what do I do? I don't know. I'm not trying to make this happen. What do you want me to do? And he spoke to him in my old Oklahoma lingo, and he said, yeah, boy, and then a rip. So I just, so everyone I laid hands on, God gave me a prophecy for, and at 2:30 in the morning, I finished with the 85th person. And about 3 weeks later, I was in Pennsylvania, and Pennsylvania, and 150 people there. I popped rates and started laying hands on them, ended up prophesying over the whole 150. And thereafter that, everywhere I went, week after week, I prophesied over 500 to 1,000 people. Sometimes churches of 200 or 300, I prophesy over every one of them. And that continued over the years. I was probably about, when I was out traveling full time, prophesying about 1,000 people a week. And that was in 73. But in the mid 80s, we moved to Florida and started training programs and seminars and training people in the prophetic, had a 2 week long teaching in the prophetic, and all the guidelines, the pitfalls to avoid, principles to practice, protocols, and how to activate, and et cetera, et cetera. And then the Lord said, I told you to start training the people, because in 1984, there was a prophet prophesied to me and said, in 5 years, there's going to be a move of God take place at your in your ministry, at your conferences, that's going to go around the world. And that was 1984, and in 1988, the prophetic movement was birthed at our conference in Sandestin, Florida here. And then he said, and you're going to be a reproducer of reproducers who reproduce reproducers. And this is what's made Christian International and myself a little bit different than the rest of the prophets, is that God gave us a reproducing anointing. And we've trained over 300,000 to 400,000 people on every continent of the world. And they're training people, and they're training people that's training people to hear the voice of God and minister to others. And we've trained over now 400,000. And we have trainers and churches and people ministering in every continent. And that was about 15 years ago that I figured up that I had prophesied over about 50,000, and I quit counting. And people won't believe that much, let alone all that was. But all I'd say, all my ministers prophesied, all my 3 children, 11 grandchildren, and now my 17 great-grandchildren are getting the ministry in prophetic. So it goes by 1 Corinthians 14:31. You may all prophesy one by one. In other words, everybody can be a witness for Jesus, because it says in Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So if the Lord wants to testify to one of his saints, he needs to use he wants to use the spirit of prophecy. So that's a first level that we teach and train and activate people in. I'm going to be in Harry Jackson's church a couple of weeks in February, and I'm going to teach the manual of ministry spiritual gifts with one of my ministers. I haven't taught it in 10 years, because I've got about 20 ministers that do that teaching. But we're going to teach and train his people to hear the voice of God, to be a voice, because he's already working on a lot of the national deals in Washington besides his church. And so we're teaching and training and maturing people in that area. That's the reason I wrote the book on prophets and personal prophecy, God's hearing the voice of God and guidelines for fulfilling it. Then I wrote the book on the prophetic movement and prophets. And then I wrote the book on pitfalls to avoid and principles to practice. And that really gives all the guidelines, answers all the questions. It's not hard to get people to prophesy, it's what's hard is then to use wisdom and discretion and proper use, because you just don't promise everything that hits your brain, and you don't. And if you got something, you know it's from God, then you have to get wisdom how to say it. I'll give you an example. I was prophesying over a group of about 50 leaders in a church, and the pastor was walking right along beside me, and I was prophesying. He was just agreeing with what I was prophesying to his leader. And I got this one I just saw in the spirit. This poor young man was having trouble with a homosexual problem, and I just saw it on the sideline there, and I kept, as I'm prophesying like a machine gun, and thinking, Lord, how am I going to say this? How are we going to handle this? So it's not wisdom just to say it. So finally, the Holy Ghost just slipped it in, and I just said, the Lord says, I'm delivering you from that spirit that's trying to pervert your personality and destroy your manhood, and I'm bringing you forth in victory. And he hit the floor, got delivered from that spirit, and the pastor standing right beside me didn't know I just delivered him from a homosexual spirit that was trying to get a hold of him. But that's the thing that we do. We teach wisdom and guidelines and directives and boxes. We do away with no hallway hallucinations, no bathroom revelations, no parking lot prophecies. We have a lot of guidelines, because we say, they say, well, why do you have so many guidelines? Because if you take a person over here in the corner and start prophesying by yourself, when they go home, they don't say you prophesied to you. They'll say, at the end of the meeting, somebody prophesied to me. And I said, we don't allow any false prophesying or individual prophesying or promoting prophesy. You got to give me money or you need to marry me. We have a lot of guidelines, and we try to keep it balanced and integrity. And that's we strive for integrity as much as we do the prophetic flow. But thank God for what he's doing today.
And you have a real reputation for integrity. And I want to hear some more stories. These are exciting, but we need to take a break for our sponsor. And after we come back, I'm going to ask you I know you have so many stories, but maybe just two or three, a little bit like you said now, of maybe where there was a significant movement birthed or people's lives were really impacted by some of these prophecies. So I'll let you think about that, and we'll be back right after this.
Shalom, Christian friends. Ezra International rescues Jewish families in war-torn Ukraine, Islamic nations of the former Soviet Union, and remote Siberia, as well as South America, and returns them to Israel, the land of their hope. Your prayers and financial help will bless Israel. Visit EzraInternational.org and invite Ezra to your church. Help fulfill biblical prophecy. The time is now. Go to EzraInternational.org or call 325-394-4673.
Okay, welcome back. I'm talking to Bishop Bill Hammond, who's really the founder of the modern prophetic movement. Before the break, I wanted to ask you for some more stories.
Yeah, well, I could give you, in my book, Prophecy and Personal Prophecy, I give about 20 testimonies in there, different things from people like way back in 84 when I first came down here. I called out this one young man, and I started prophesying over him, and the Lord said, I'm cleansing your system and purging you. I'm delivering you from the death sentence that was against you, and I'm setting you free, and I'm going to call you to the ministry. And that, he hit the floor, and he, according to his testimony, he laid down and said it felt like a hose was flushing out his system. The doctors had told him all of his veins and his capillaries and even his arteries were also plugged up, that he had about 6 months to live. Well, God healed him completely, and he was able to get 6 months. He got able to get insurance. He's in the ministry today, even this later. You know, I've had one lady I prophesied to that God was going to give she and her husband a beautiful young late baby. I caution people on prophesying about babies and stuff, but he did speak to me through that, and it was impossible to her to have a baby. She had cancer of the uterus and the endometriosis, that scar tissue. Doctor says it's impossible to her to have a baby. And 9 months later, she had a baby. I had a woman come up to me the other day, and she said, I'm 47 years old, and I'm in this world because of you. I said, oh, how's that? She said that 48 years ago, you came to our church, and you prophesied to my mother that she would have a baby girl. And 9 months later, I was born. But the doctor said there was no way for her to, it was impossible for her to get pregnant. She also had cancer of the internal organs or in her uterus and several other things. There's no way possible for her to get pregnant. But that's just one among about 100 testimonies like that. And but then one that makes a big difference, I was down in Dominican Republic, and by my apostle down there, my also board of governors, I have a big church and network of about 400, 500 ministers. And their president, they had a sister in their church that had a sister that worked for the president. And he didn't know whether to run for president again. He had just one term, and he had to change the constitution and put it back to two terms because the man before him had moved it from two to three. Then when he was going to leave office, he turned it back just to one. So he said, well, I'm not going to run unless God tells me to. And they said, well, our bishop is a prophet. Won't we contact him? And we won't tell him anything except you need to hear a prophetic word. So they sent him, and I sent him a long prophetic word. And in the word, the Lord said that I've need of you. You still got a job to do. You're going to bring my unity to my nation and bring some prosperity and et cetera. And you're going to do whatever is necessary for make that happen. Well, I didn't know what all that meant, but he got it and he ran for president. So every time I go down there now, they had take me to the president, and he wants to hear another word what God's saying. And I prophesied probably 10 or 15 presidents and governors and leaders around the world. And you know, everybody's hungry to hear a true word from heaven and what heaven has to say and word of the Lord, you know. And I'm sure even at times, you know, we've all had the weird prophets come and give us weird words. But, you know, somebody, when I first started teaching on the prophet, people said, well, I don't believe they're all prophets. They're all false prophets. I said, let me ask you a question. Anybody ever give you a counterfeit $13 bill? They said, no. I said, how come? There is no real $13 bill. If you're saying there's false prophets, there has to be true prophets. And so I said, I'm magnifying the true prophets. And we know there's false prophets, there's presumptuous prophets, there's immature prophets, there's, you know, but there are true, genuine prophets, and God's raised them up. And God showed me in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, how that he was going to raise up a company of prophets in the power and spirit of Elijah to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord, just like John the Baptist was that Elijah anointed prophet to, as one person, prepare the way for the Messiah. But now Jesus is coming to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord, and all the moves of God have to take place before he gets here. And thank God for 2018. Stephen, this is going to be one of the most unusual, glorious years for the church. In fact, my word for the year is God says that those who are walking with the Lord and helping him fulfill his present prophetic purpose, it's going to be the most glorious and prosperous year we've had in a long, long, long time. So I'm really believing for that and decreeing that. And for the church that's working with God, it's going to be glorious. But for the lukewarm, worldly church and the wicked, it's going to be some fearful anticipation, a lot of nerve-wracking. But God's going to bring prosperity to America, and God's going to vindicate Trump and change things around before the year's out. And the people that's gainsayed and the gainsayers that won't give them a chance to be in seed, God's going to really turn that around, and where they can't argue about it, he's going to bring victory. I mentioned that before, and one lady just jumped all over me about it. Why would you do us about Trump? I said, because he's God's man. God put him in. I didn't choose him. You didn't choose him. And I said, we didn't elect him. God did. So I'm going to honor the man of God and help him fulfill God's purpose and plan. So I want everybody, the saints that's ready walking with God, be very sensitive to the voice of the Lord. Be very, keep up with what God's doing, because you don't want to miss what God's about to do in 2018.
Amen. And, you know, that's a good segue. I was going to ask you about President Donald Trump. Most of my listeners, and you, of course, know that I wrote a book called God and Donald Trump. And really what I felt was, it's not a political book as much as it's about God. And the prophetic is a very real part of it. And I just felt that it was important to get on the record, you know, that there were prophets before the election who very specifically prophesied against all odds exactly what you just said, that Donald Trump would be president and that God was raising him up. So we only have a couple of minutes left. So could you just elaborate a little bit on your thoughts on that? And why do you think that God revealed this to the prophets before the election?
Well, you know, from the people that are anti-prophet today are also very pro-Israel. But they need to realize that the very first president of Israel, or the king, was put in by a prophet. And the second, David, was also put in by a prophet. Prophet prophesied when he was 13 years old, he'd be king of Israel. This is nothing new or unusual. And if you believe in Israel and got the God of Israel, he's still the same God today. And he puts prophets in, and he puts them in to do things. And sometimes the people he puts in is not always according to our preference or personality, style, or even a lot of things. But one thing about it, God put the man in to bring America back to its foundation, to give open the door for Christians to rise up and have the greatest revival. We're going to see the greatest awakening and greatest restoration and harvest time over the next few years we've seen. But he brought him up to bring back a standard of righteousness and let the church get free and rise and fulfilled. There's so many things he's called to do. But those that don't see it and can't receive it, you know, having a hard time. And, you know, it's just like it was hard for me to accept Obama getting in, you know, because I just, you know, I'm a Republican, of course, but I'm a Christian. But then I was with this brother that was testifying that they've had this revival in Afghanistan and over there, because millions of Muslims are coming to the Lord, because one of the biggest hindrances in coming to the Lord was that their father was a Muslim, and they couldn't be anything but a Muslim. But when Obama professed Christianity with a Muslim father being a Muslim, they said that opened the door for them now to become a Christian. So there was something good came out of here. So maybe it would be hard for me to believe in some of the liberals that Trump is the president. It was hard for me to accept God put him in, but prophesied that he would be get in. And I couldn't understand why would he put him in. But, you know, God does things different than we know. His ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are ours. But I tell you, every Christian should thank God that he got Trump in.
You're absolutely right, and I just so appreciate you being with me today. There's so much more we can talk about. Maybe I can invite you back for another podcast in the future, because we want to keep our finger on what God is saying to the church. And in a lot of the media interviews that I've done about God and Donald Trump, I make the point that God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. But in our secularized society, and even among a lot of Christians, they don't really take that into consideration very much. And that was another reason I wanted to write my book, but more about that later. I will thank my listeners for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed this. I want to report that we just passed a milestone for the Charisma Podcast Network with 3 million downloads. And I just want to thank you and encourage you to go down and look at other podcasts that you may enjoy and listen to them as well. I'm Stephen Strang. Thank you for listening to the Strang Report today on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Get your copy of the 2018 January Charisma featuring Bill Hammond. Go to shop.charismamag.com or call 1-800-749-6500 to purchase your copy today.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, that's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.